October 25th, 2021, Hillsborough Disappearance Day of Narottam Dustin. Narottam Dustin Thakur. So he was from
I asked the family, but he was a prince. So this is the kind of a confusion about the Kyastas. My friend Rukmini, who visited here some months ago, her family is Kyastas, and she's compiled all kinds of information about what they did. But often they served like Kshatriyas, although they were considered a kind of Shudra. They often served as Kshatriyas, so Ramananda Roy was in this category as well. Very interesting. Anyway, he was a prince, but he wasn't really interested in ruling. He was interested in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He never married, and his cousin ended up taking over the kingdom. Santosh, I think, was his name. And Narottam Das Thakur had a dream where Lord Nityananda told him to bathe in the Padma River. And so he did so, and the river personified came and filled him with Krishna prema. And Narottam Das studied Sanskrit at a very young age, became a very proficient Sanskrit scholar. He was on his way to Navadvipa to see the Lord when he found out that practically everyone had left the planet. And it was just when he wrote this song. And then he went to Vrindavan, and there he found that Rupa Sanatana had already left. But Jiva Goswami was there. Raghunath Das Goswami was also still present. And he studied along with Srinivas Acharya. And the other one, the three, Srinivas Acharya, Rupa Das Thakur, and who's studying under Jiva. They traveled with the books. Anyway, so the three of them were studying under Jiva Goswami, who was their Shikshu Guru, and Shamananda. Shamananda already had Hridaya Chaitanya as his guru, and Narottam Das didn't have a Dikshu Guru. Sometimes Jiva Goswami didn't want to give him the mantras. And Narottam Das Thakur, the advice of Jiva Goswami from his own heart, wanted to take Diksha from Lokanath Das Goswami. But Lokanath Das Goswami had decided that he would not in his life accept any disciples. And so Narottam Das Thakur was conflicted because here the person he wanted to take Diksha from was saying, sorry, I'm not going to give Diksha to anybody, but he was fixed. I want to take Diksha from this person. I know people like that in situations like that in his time as well. Like I know Banu Swami was approved in the 80s to give Diksha, but he never has. And whenever I visit him in Chennai, he's got like maybe five people who've been waiting for, you know, 20 years. And he says, I'm not going to give anybody Diksha. They're waiting like that. So Narottam Das Thakur was not just waiting. He thought, what service can I do for my guru? And Lokanath Das Goswami was very humble. And it was very hard to do any service for him. But Narottam Das Thakur noticed that he had a place where he was passing stool every day, and he thought, well, let me clean that place. So he would go at a time when Lokanath Das Goswami was not there, he would clean up the stool, he would carry it to a distant place, and he would clean the whole area, and he made even a nice path from where Lokanath Das Goswami stayed to where he would evacuate. And so, of course, you know, Lokanath Das Goswami was noticing that somebody's cleaning up. Alright, we don't always notice these things. Sometimes if things are clean, we just sort of, well, they're clean. He noticed somebody's cleaning. So he hid and he washed. And at that time he said, okay, I'll accept you. One disciple, I'll accept you as my disciple. So then at a certain point, by the order of Jiva Goswami and Lokanath Das Goswami, so the three, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda, and Srinivas Acharya, they were carrying the handwritten books of the Goswamis. And of course, there's a whole other story, not so much related to Narottam, the books got stolen and so forth. And Narottam Das Thakur ended up preaching widely in Orissa and in Manipur and Assam. So today, if you've ever been one time to Manipur, which is quite an experience, I would highly recommend, actually, if you get a chance to go to Manipur. There you see the disciplic branch of Narottam Das Thakur there in Manipur. And they're Gaudiyas, but they're a different, somewhat different branch And you can see how they develop. Nirjuna Dasakura had a particular style of kirtan, and they're singing in that style. What really struck me in Manipur, among the Vaishnavas there, because the former king of Manipur became a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the influence of Nirjuna Dasakura. And the way women are treated there was very striking to me. So there's traveling groups of traveling kirtan groups of all women, and they go from one temple to another every day, and each temple, the leader of the temple, the head of the temple, gives them donations of usually money and cloth, and there's just women kirtan groups. And when the women are going to do their puja, whether they're married, they wear saffron cloth. So every morning, all in the capital Imphal, you see all these women wearing saffron silk, and you're kind of, what is going on here? If they're married, they have a white chadar, and if they're widows, then they also have a saffron chadar, and then they change into their other clothes during the day, but they wear saffron for puja. I took some photographs of the ladies there. So the women are very, very highly respected in the Gaudiya tradition there in Manipur. And it's interesting, we have, of course, a godbrother, Bhaktisar Damodar Maharaj, who was born and raised in a Vaishnava family in Manipur. And Srila Prabhupada asked that this Manipur culture be brought all over the world. And he said it would be possible for Manipur to become the first Vaishnava state. Unfortunately, the government became a communist influence. But anyway, it's just fascinating. There's in the old palaces of the king, you can visit and see where they would make a replica of Govardhan Hill, like here we have a replica of Govardhan Hill, and the replica of Radhakuni and Shamakuni. When we were there, the devotees did a drama in their local language, I had a translator, with dance. It was a dance drama, and it depicted historical events in Manipur that were all mixed with Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So imagine if when you studied American history, it was all mixed with Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It was actually very extraordinary. Narottama Das Thakur was also the main one responsible for organizing the festival of Khichdi, where Janava Ma became known as the Acharya of the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya at that point. So she wasn't, we talk about her being a guru and initiating disciples, but she was far more than that. She was, just like we have Srila Prabhupada as the founder, Acharya, his son. So she really became the Acharya of the Gaudiyas, and she united all the different Sampradayic branches of the Gaudiya Sampradaya there in that festival. They installed many deities and so forth. And Narottama Das Thakura, having been born in a Kayasta family and considered a Shudra, some of the Brahmanas thought it very scandalous that he was giving Diksha to those born in Brahmana families. I'm sorry to say that this sort of thing is still going on in 2021, where people even in our Hare Krishna movement are looking at the bodily position of people in terms of being guru, and it's actually quite interesting. This seems to be a recurring theme in history. You know, so there was this objection that how can Narottama Das Thakura be giving Diksha? Now, as I said, he himself was a Sanskrit scholar from youth. But the head of the Brahmanas wanted to debate him. So he said, fine, you know, I'll debate with you. But then his disciples, he had many disciples from high-class Brahmana families who themselves were Sanskrit scholars, and they thought, you know, this is unseemly for our guru to have to engage in this debate. So they employed some subterfuge, and these big Brahmana scholars who were disciples of Narottama Das Thakura, they dressed simply and they set up shops, like brass shops and flower shops in the village, so that when these big, proud Brahmanas would come to debate with Narottama Das Thakura, and they first entered the village, they'd come to the shops. And of course, you know, when you're traveling, you may need to purchase something, right? So they would need, especially if you regularly do puja, so you need things that are fresh. You need fresh flowers, and fresh tulsi, and so forth, fresh food. So they were going to the shops and purchasing, and they found that the shopkeepers were speaking to them in Sanskrit instead of the local language. and ended up engaging them in philosophical debate. The shopkeepers, "Oh, who are you? Where are you from?" And they answer conventionally, you know, like, "I'm only one from New York." "What do you mean you're only one from New York? You're the soul. You're not the body. You have this..." And they started getting into these philosophical discussions, and these seeming shopkeepers defeated in debate these big scholarly brahmanas. And then these brahmanas were very embarrassed, and they thought, "Wow, if the shopkeepers in Nirottama Das Thakur's area speak perfect Sanskrit and defeat us in debate, we don't want to deal with the guru." And so they just left in embarrassment. And today's disappearance, saying the way that Nirottama Das Thakur left this planet is very extraordinary. He went to take bath in the Ganga, and he asked the devotees to have kirtan. And while they were having kirtan, he asked them to bathe him with Ganga water, and his body melted into the Ganga. It looked like milk melting into the Ganga. It disappeared into the... So, what songs that are sung in every ISKCON temple every day are written by Nirottama Das Thakur? Guru Vandana. And what else? One more. The Tosi prayer. The prayer to Tosi Devi and Guru Vandana. So very interesting. And I've always found the Tosi prayer particularly of interest when I started teaching Raghunandasa Swami's Srimana Shiksha. So after going through and conquering all of the obstacles of speech, the obstacles of behavior, the obstacles of mind, the obstacles of heart, and the devotee comes to full humility by text 8 of Srimana Shiksha, then the devotee asks for 3 benedictions. The devotee asks, "Please give me mercy to drive away my inherent wickedness. I'm a cheater." But up until this point, there was some pride. So in text 8, the devotee says, I recognize I'm a cheater with inherent wickedness. Give me mercy to drive away my wickedness. And then, "Please give me glowing nectar," which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains as, "Let the rays of the Ladini Shakti fill me with my eternal position and engage me in the service of Srimati Bhagavani, of the eternal energy." So these are the 3 prayers that are asked for at verse 8 of Srimana Shiksha. Now, the Srimana Shiksha of Raghunathas Goswami is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's a piety or a step-by-step guide to Raghunuga Bhakti, to spontaneous devotion. And text 8, again, is when the devotee has overcome all anartas. There's the anarta of improper speech, the anarta of improper behavior, the anarta of improper motives, and the anarta of wanting prestige in exchange for one's bhakti. And these are the prayers said at that stage. And again, it's a piety, it's a step-by-step guide. And so the idea is that really only having come to that stage would one say these prayers. And whenever I teach Srimana Shiksha, I always ask the devotees, in what prayers in ISKCON that are recited every day do we ask for these 3 things? Mercy to drive away our wickedness, revelation of our eternal service, and being engaged in the service of the eternal energy Srimati Radharani. And the answer is in the Tulsi prayers. And I find this astonishing. The prayers that we sing to Tulsi Devi every day are at a very, very high level of bhakti. And yet we are singing them every day in every ISKCON temple, and we have printouts of them, and you can be visiting for the first time and not know anything. And here we're having you sing these songs. I mean, one of my early visits to ISKCON temple, I remember they were doing Tulsi worship at the Sunday feast, and, you know, there I was, very new. I mean, I'm still very new, but I was very, 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 very new. And here I'm singing this song. So this is by Narottama Das Thakur. Now, Narottama Das Thakur has written a lot of songs about his desired eternal service to the divine couple. Many, many, many. Which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, many of them. He also sings a lot of wonderful songs to Lord Chaitanya. Of course, he also sings something that Maharaj likes to sing in the bhajans, to Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Kamala is also written by Narottama Das Thakur. So I thought we'd look at three. One of them is not in the songbook, but I really like it. So I'm going to sing it anyway, even though it's not in the songbook, and you can all hate me for it. It's Vasantras, Vasantivas. As I said, it's not in the Google Local Songbook.
Brian K.K. songs.
Vrindavan Ramyasthan. So, Krishna Swami has sung this song on one of his CDs. Yes, it's also sung by Vishnujana Swami, who also then reads a translation into it. So, and again, apologize, this is not in the Nigo Loka songbook, but we are going to sing another two that are in the Nigo Loka songbooks. Vrindavana Ramya Sarana Divya Chintamani
Sadhana Nayika.
Okay, page 49. I chose this one because as you all know, I've been teaching the Southern Ocean of Bhakti Sanyam to Sindhu, and the first item that he discusses there is vibhava, or what stimulates our love for Krishna. And there are two main categories of vibhava, alambana, or basic, and then udipana, or the stimulants. Under the category of what basically impels us in our love for Krishna is, of course, Krishna. We love Krishna because of Krishna. I love Krishna Priya because Krishna Priya inspires me to love her. That's natural. But I may also be inspired to love Krishna Priya by the love of other people for her. So, like my daughter, Champakulata, also loves Krishna Priya. And when I see Champakulata loving Krishna Priya, my love for Krishna Priya also increases. Yes? So, the devotees are also stimulated in their love for Krishna by the other devotees. And it's interesting that Srila Rupa Goswami in the Eastern Ocean Bhakti Vasanti Sindhu says that the angas of bhakti that can be performed for the Lord can also be performed for the devotees. So, this question comes up over and over and over and over and over. It's one of the most frequently asked questions we get. Can't we love anybody besides Krishna? We got this in our Bhakti Shastri class yesterday. Are we supposed to just be detached from everyone? I have no feelings for you at all. I only love Krishna. There's this concept like that. Yes? The problem is when we try to love other jivas independent of Krishna. Then we are trying to love them according to our upadis. And it's a false platform. I'm loving you because you are my mother, because you are my child, because you are my friend. And then there's a, we can talk about that for a long time, which we're not going to do today. But it's simply that that causes all sorts of frustration and disappointment. And therefore, Queen Kunti says, the sneha pasa sever this tie of affection. And Prabhupada's commentary says, seeing the dark is not seeing, but seeing the light is seeing. And if there is a relationship soul to soul via the super soul, that is a real relationship. So in spiritual life, the devotees also have great love for each other. And here, Narottama Das Thakur was writing a song for Rupa Manjari, like one would write for Krishna. That he's having this kind of love for another devotee. Shri Rupa Manjari Kada Se Mora Sampada. Say, but I say,
Thank you. Sopaki, Gautama Das Satur Ki.
Yeah.